Everybody loves chalupas. Everybody wants them now. If you want to have chalupas, I'm the one to show you how. Hey folks, this is Rish Outfield, and this is the Rish Outcast. I am recording this summer 2015. I'm going on a long drive, and I imagine I will get a lot of recording done, or audiobook listening done, or maybe a little bit of thinking done. But this is the first one I'm going to record. I'm just going to get an easy one out of the way. I imagine that things will become more difficult as the summer gets longer. Sorry, as the summer goes on, for me to sit down and put out episodes. And so I think I'm going to do Unconventional, which is a short story that I wrote, I think it was last year, could have been 2 years ago. And back in December, I split up Birth of a Sidekick into four parts, I believe. I think I'm going to do the same on this, only just split it into two parts so that I can have two episodes fairly close together. You know what I'm saying? If things get really hectic or busy, as I think that they will, I'll have these two that I can lay down and bam, there's a month. So you're going to hear Unconventional. And on the surface, it's not dissimilar from a story I put on here called Mick Attends an Elementary School Carnival. And that gives me a little bit of pause. I don't want to be one of those guys that writes the same thing over and over again, that somebody could say, well, you know what, this is really just the same as this story, or this main character is really just this guy. I'm not tremendously worried about that. Especially not with these two stories, because they're only incidentally similar. Anyhow, I guess I will go ahead and let that play. And part of the fun of presenting these audiobook tracks on my website, on my podcast, is coming up with Kevin MacLeod in Compotech songs that can sort of accompany them. I did it with Birth of a Sidekick with this track called Americana, which I thought really elevated the material, as I mentioned in an episode. And the fun of music is that you can listen to the same bit of music, setting up a funny story, or setting up a scary story, setting up a sad story, setting up an adventure story. And because our minds are built to want to find patterns, to seek meaning where maybe there isn't any meaning, your brain will make it seem like that fits. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, it's totally a horror story song. Oh, that's totally a funny one. Or you know what, that's a sci-fi one. You can imagine a rocket ship taking off when you hear it, and yet it's the same song. Anyway, maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe there's no music. There's one way to find out, and that's to let it go. Play.
Unconventional by Rish Outfield. Tom Bondi was divorced. He had one son, a sickly mother living in Utah, and his best friend had been his brother-in-law. And now, with Lanice so sour and unapproachable, that relationship was effectively crippled. He had a good job maintaining the website and computer systems of a replacement auto parts warehouse, but he worked odd hours, and though he was paid well, he got little satisfaction from his work. And now that the divorce had gone through, that paycheck was effectively crippled as well. He had one son, Gino, who he was increasingly fond of, even if he didn't see him much anymore. Gino was 3, a lighter-haired replica of his daddy, and was who Tom's thoughts returned to more and more often. That kid's smile was enough to make Tom smile, even when in a sour mood. And recently, when he walked through a store, even a grocery store, it was items Gino might like that he focused on first. So it came as a surprise, a devastating surprise, when Lanice announced she was remarrying and moving to Austin, Texas with her new man. She hadn't taken long in moving on, and there seemed to be even less thought put into her decision to relocate 1,000 miles away, taking the boy with her. Tom wanted to reason with her, prevent her from going, or at least put up a fight. But he and Lanice weren't on speaking terms, and his lawyer, the same one who told him he was lucky to have the custody arrangement he got, told him it was hopeless. The courts were always going to side with the mother, and when his ex had found a new man with a stay-at-home job and 2 kids of his own, well... So Tom was going to lose the one thing worth getting up for in the morning. Lovely. Tom had started talking to himself around the tiny apartment he now lived in, a habit he had left behind when he and Lanice had first connected in a pharmacy, both delighting in an old Al Jarreau song playing from the overhead speakers. But now he'd find himself pretending little Gino was following him around, asking him about superheroes' weaknesses, asking him his views on the afterlife, asking him what he thought of his co-workers, or the TV show he'd just seen, or just about his day. It couldn't be healthy, pretending he had a 3-year-old imaginary friend from time to time. But Tom didn't care. It felt good sometimes to pretend. There had been a fire at Lanice's house the week before, and for a moment, Tom thought that would be fuel for a new custody hearing. But the fireman said it had been a freak occurrence, bad wiring or something, and had nothing to do with a mother leaving an iron on or smoking by the curtains or anything. Part of her decision to move had been that fire, and somehow she had intimated that Tom was at fault for that too, since it had been his house back when they fell in love and got married. In his single days, Tom had been quite the fanboy, reading comics and manga, posting on cartoon and model kit message boards, collecting action figures and rare foreign posters, and going to conventions, sometimes dressing as Tom Baker, or as a Final Fantasy character. Lanice had hated pretty much all of that sort of thing, though. Calling cosplayers, video game aficionados, comic geeks and their ilk, mouth breathers. And for the 4 years they had been together, most of those hobbies fell by the wayside in Tom's life. But now, Tom had embraced it all once again, and had longed for the time when he could take little Gino to a sci-fi convention, or sit down and watch the original Star Trek series with him, or build a bat cave out of Legos with his boy. Well, none of that would probably ever happen now. But then, he saw that there would be a comic book convention in Denver the next weekend, his last weekend before Gino was moving away. He quickly bought a ticket for himself, children were free, and called Lanice to let her know of his plans. He almost hoped she would criticize him or the activity, so he could lay into her about her selfishness in everything, really, but taking his son away most specifically. But she simply said, "Don't you think he's a little young for that?" And when he said, "Not at all," she said, "Fine, whatever," which did nothing to calm his rising anger. He would take the boy on Friday afternoon, go to the convention on Saturday, and bring him back to his mother's apartment on Sunday in the afternoon. That was the plan, but the boy, almost 4 now, seemed hesitant to come along when Tom saw him on Friday. "No, you'll love it. You'll see."
"But I'm scared," Gino said softly.
"What? Why?"
"Mommy said there are crazy people there, in Halloween costumes."
Tom scowled, then pushed the expression away.
"I thought you liked Halloween."
"I sure do. And you can dress up if you want to. I will too if you want to run to the party store with me."
He didn't. And Todd found himself worrying about how Texas would change the boy.
How long before he'd forget his real father and call his stepfather Dad?
Are you okay, Daddy?
The boy was asking. And Tom's unhappiness faded. He hugged the child and said, When I'm with you, kiddo, I'm always okay. And it was true. 2. The convention was more than an hour's drive, and Gino dozed in his car seat at the back. Tom realized that he'd have no need for that car seat in a couple of weeks, and it suddenly filled him with a melancholy that was almost absurdly heavy. How he'd hated that bulky, awkward car seat, which he sometimes removed, but usually left back there because it was so hard to install. And now, he'd probably store it somewhere, or just throw it out. American Pie started up on the radio, and Tom nearly woke the boy so he could sing the chorus with him. But he let him sleep, and listened to it in silence. As soon as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost caught the next train for the coast part played, he regretted it, recognizing that this would probably be the last time they'd get to sing it together. Tom had the song on his computer, though, and they could sing it tonight if he wanted to. He wondered if Gino would always associate American Pie with his dad, or if they only listened to country in Austin. Lanice had said something particularly nasty once on the phone, that she'd be changing her last name to Fitzberger, which was the new husband's last name, and that she'd probably be changing Gino's last name as well. Tom had hit the roof, feeling more betrayed and insulted than he had when she'd first talked about divorce in the first place. He knew it would be wiser to pretend it was not a huge deal so she wouldn't pursue it just to hurt him. But he'd never been good at masking his emotions. He'd come close to begging in the end. And she'd told him she would wait and let the boy decide. But what would a little boy naturally do when in a new house, with new siblings, all of them with a last name different than his, even a name as stupid as Fitzberger? The child stirred in the back seat, and Tom sighed. They were almost there, and he resolved himself to show the kid the best time he could, even if he had to buy half the convention center in the process. He'd remain positive, showing the boy as good a time as was humanly possible, creating a memory his new dad could never replicate, not with front-row NASCAR tickets and 100 drinking buddies. Parking was particularly bad, with every possible space filled for blocks before their destination. He parked on the street, 7 blocks away, in a spot that may or may not have been legal, and carried his son the whole way to the convention center. Gino started to wake as they neared the huge building. Tom's arms were aching by then, and found himself distracted by people dressed as superheroes, zombies, ninjas, halflings, and Hogwarts students. There were cosplayers the child recognized that his father didn't, and Tom pretended to be fascinated by every one from every new cartoon show or video game. The sun was shining brightly as they finally got to the entrance of the building, where, 10 minutes later, they were able to pick up their badges. The line to get into the main hall was also long, but the boy didn't complain. He'd fully awakened, and his delight at all the celebrities they were seeing was infectious. Tom was already sweating from the outside heat, but also from carrying the boy, who wasn't heavy, just... Well, maybe Tom was out of shape. Who could say? "Wow, it is hot in here," he muttered, though it probably wasn't, just filled with too many people. Gino nodded, apparently sympathizing, and there was a whoosh above them as the air conditioner started working. "Nice," Tom said as the cool air, almost cold, blew down on him. There were dozens, maybe hundreds, of booths, selling shirts, toys, posters, autographs, weapons, statues, and comics. But all Gino seemed interested in was getting his picture taken with several costumed attendees. Impressively, every single one of them was happy to pose with the kid, and Tom took a score of photos. He did get a couple with both of them, and let the child take a picture of Tom with a girl in a particularly impressive Zeopatra costume from the Peppermass Strike Force anime. Gino took a truly awful photograph,
cutting off both his father's and the girl's heads, but focusing only on Tom's con badge and the girl's breasts. Tom considered asking the girl to pose for another, but was amused enough by the picture's angle that he let it go. Seeing how happy Gino was with all the fanboys should have made Tom happy, but it instead filled him with a sense of finality and missed opportunity. Had he known the boy would enjoy this so much, he'd have bought matching costumes, say a Billy Batson and Captain Marvel, or more likely a Batman and Robin, and come the day before also. The child showed so much attention to the Iron Mans and Stormtroopers walking around that Tom didn't even have to buy him things.
"Hey, Daddy?"
Gino asked him. "Yes, my man?"
"Next time, can I wear a Halloween costume?"
"Sure," Tom said, then stiffened. There would be no next time, most likely. That had been the whole point of this trip.
Okay, so we will pause unconventional there. I'm just going to say a few brief words and then we'll go on to the goodbyes. This story was inspired by there being a comic convention coming to our state. And as far as I was aware, there had never been one before. And I took my nephew, who I believe was 5 years old, to his very first comic con. And I believe we drove up one day, and then I told him, well, you can either, you know, stay home, or you can come the next day. You're not obligated to come again. And he wanted to come again a second day. And so on the second day, I believe we took a train. We took a train up to the Capitol, and I think it was also his first train ride. And it was the night of that terrible thunderstorm. Remember, George? What, Lorraine? There was this obscenely bad thunderstorm that day, and thousands of dollars of damage, of flood damage, where I live, while I was out of town enjoying this convention. And that has always put it's always soured my memory of that very first convention, because, first of all, my cousin and I, we were sitting in a panel for, I believe Stan Lee was going to be there, and my cousin gets this terrified call, and you know what, it might have been indignant, from his wife saying, you have to come home right now. And he stood up, right, you know, even though we had stood in line for a long time to go to this panel, and he walked out and just went home. And he had some flood damage in his basement, but nothing compared to what we had had. But I didn't know this until we were on the train ride home. But we went to the train station after the convention had ended, and we had to sit there and wait for a train to come get us. And while we were sitting there, I thought about what kind of story could I write about a convention. And so, yeah, it was basically just what you were hearing, you know, a dad who wants to do something special for his boy before they are separated. And it was probably a paragraph I jotted down before the train stopped. And I had intended to write more on the train, but I got this call and they were saying, oh, holy cow, there was, you know, over a foot of water in the basement. And you know, that seemed like it had to have been an exaggeration, because how could there be that much water in the basement? But it wasn't an exaggeration. The walls were destroyed, the floor was destroyed, carpet was ruined, furniture was ruined. And then, you know, I had several boxes of my stuff and toys. I had my posters, comic books, books, just boxes of books that were ruined. And that took up the next weeks after that, you know, and trying to clear everything out, trying to dry everything out, not re-carpet, we ended up putting tile down there. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm not really talking about the story, I'm talking about the backstory. But because of that incident, I didn't get to write the story when I planned to. That would have been that story that I wrote. I think it would have been September of 2013. And I didn't get around to actually writing it for a couple months or 6 months. Or I'm pretty sure it was 2014 when I finally wrote it, but I don't know. Anyhow, time has passed, and I've been to several conventions since then. Taken my nephew. He really enjoys them, but he does insist on me buying him something every time we go, which is only natural. You go to a place where everybody is selling stuff that is either aimed at children or at adult children like me. You would want to buy stuff, but that's not the whole story. We'll be back. It'll probably be a little over a week, maybe let's say 10 days. 10 days to 2 weeks. Come back and I will play the rest of Unfortunate. No, of Unconventional. And Unconventional is available to buy out there on Audible and on Amazon. But since you're hearing it for free, that makes me think that no one would ever buy it. But I keep thinking that I need to put a collection of audio stories together and, you know, do like 4 or 5 hours worth so that it would be worth it to somebody who wants to spend an Audible credit. And I've probably got, at the time of this recording, 6 or 7 stories that are recorded and that are out there and available, or that are recorded and that are just waiting for a venue. The problem is you can't just create an audiobook. You can't. You have to have a physical book, not a physical, you have to have a text file on Amazon already. And then you have to tell Amazon, I want to make this text file into an audiobook. And that has always been frustrating to me because I don't want to do that. Which sounds stupid. Why not just collect 7 stories in one little collection and then just release that as an audio? And, you know, then if somebody buys the text version, which I don't want them to do, well, you know, that's just a bonus. That's great. But if it's just up there for audio, then that's... bah, that's it. Anyhow, I am going to let you go. The engine of my car seems to be really revving. So I'm going to give it a break too. But I will talk to you soon. And thank you for listening. I've been Rich Outfield. And you know that thing that you've been wondering whether you should do or not? Why not?
For your information, the podcast you have just suffered through was produced under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license. The music in today's episode was presented by Kevin MacLeod of the website incompetech.com.
Sorry, there's a guy tailgating me. I have to slam on the gas because he can't go around me. He just wants to ride my ass. I hope this guy burns up. I hope he's charred, crispy, with the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices.